Before we look to the Word of God, let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we ask that You would teach us this evening from Your Holy Word, that You would enable us to understand Your truth, to believe it, and to put it into practice. We ask, Father, that You would be honored, that You would be glorified by Your truth, and that what You have revealed to us would be useful to us in serving You. We thank You, Father, that it is because You first love us that we love You. And we pray in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So tonight we come to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. And what I'll be doing as I work through the book of Proverbs is probably selecting a couple of verses to deal with out of each chapter. And I think that that is probably going to be the best thing to do. And this evening, that's what I plan to do. So Proverbs chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, just as weight is His delight. When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught by their lust. When a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish, and the hope of the unjust perishes. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. The hypocrite, with his mouth, destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices, and when the wicked perish, there is jubilation. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. He who is surety for a stranger will suffer, but one who hates being surety is secure. A gracious woman retains honor, but ruthless men retain riches. The merciful man does good for his own soul, but he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. The wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. As righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. Those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their ways are his delight. Though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished, but the prosperity of the righteous will be delivered. As a ring of gold and a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. There is one who scatters, yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. The people will curse him who withhold grain, but blessing will be on the hand of him who sells it. He who earnestly seeks good finds favor, but trouble will come to him who seeks evil. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. He who troubles his own house will inherit the wind, and the fool will be servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. If the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner? Amen. By way of review, we find a change in the book of Proverbs beginning at chapter 10. Most of what we have in chapters 1 through 9 are extended lessons on various topics. Most, but not all, of what we have in the remaining chapters of Proverbs is different. In chapters 10 through 30, we have what we normally think of as a proverb, a short, wise statement dealing with real life topics. These short, wise statements are collected into chapters with no particular order in terms of subject matter. People have correctly observed that many of these wise statements have some type of parallel form. That is, the similar parts of a sentence have a similar structure. One type of parallel form involves opposites. This type of parallelism is found in a number of Proverbs in chapter 11. For example, let's look at verse 10. Verse 10. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there is jubilation. What are the opposites here? Well, the opposites are the righteous and the wicked. Sometimes opposites are used to give a comparison. We see this in Proverbs 11:31. 11:31 reads, "If the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner?" The comparison here is between the recompense of the righteous and the recompense of the ungodly and the sinner. Our proverb from chapter 11 involves a comparison of different things. These things are not opposites. The goal of this comparison is to teach us about what is really important in life. One of the things that we learn as we read through the book of Proverbs is what is important in life. And that is what we need to hear. Our proverb for tonight is found in verse 22. Our proverb for tonight is found in verse 22. It reads, "As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman that lacks discretion." The comparison here is between a swine with a gold nose ring. Hereafter, I will refer to the swine as pig. And a lovely woman that lacks discretion. The Hebrew here translated lovely woman by the New King James Bible could be translated beautiful woman, as it is in the New Revised Standard Version, the New International Version, the New American Standard Bible, and the English Standard Version. The goal of Proverbs 11:22 is to teach us about the value of loveliness or beauty in comparison to the value of discretion. The goal here is to teach us something about the value of loveliness or beauty in comparison to the value of discretion. When it is all said and done, the lesson here this evening is, do not overvalue beauty. Do not overvalue beauty. When we deal with this proverb, it is very important that we correctly understand or correctly identify the sense or the kind of loveliness or beauty that it refers to. There are at least two kinds. There is the beauty of physical appearance. This is the ordinary notion, I think, of beauty. Some people call this outward beauty. However, the Bible also speaks of a different kind of beauty, and we find it in 1 Peter chapter 3 at verse 4, which reads, "Rather let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Here we find the hidden beauty of the heart, that is the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Some people call this inward beauty or beauty of the heart. So what kind of beauty does Proverbs 11:22 refer to? Inward beauty or outward beauty? Well, I believe this proverb is referring to the beauty of physical appearance. Why do I believe this? Well, the best reason, there are some other reasons, but the best reason is that this is the normal or ordinary sense of beauty, that of appearance, and I find no reason in the meaning of the words, the grammar, or the immediate context to give up the ordinary use, which is the beauty of physical appearance. So I believe here we're dealing with outward beauty, or the beauty of physical appearance. So how important is the beauty of physical appearance? How valuable is it? Before answering this question, I think it will be helpful to consider 8 important truths about physical beauty in people. 8 important truths about physical beauty in people. Number 1, beauty is a gift of God. Beauty is a gift of God. If we are honest, we must recognize that some people have it and some people do not. Why is that? Well, because God is the one who makes people to differ. Those who have a beautiful appearance do so ultimately because of God's sovereign choice to give them beauty. The Bible tells us that, quote, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Genesis 39:6. It also tells us that Esther was lovely and beautiful even before graduating from the king's beauty school. Esther 2:2-7. Did either Joseph or Esther have any say in their form and appearance at birth? No. God was the one that had determined this. 2, beauty is temporary. Beauty is temporary. It doesn't last forever. We all undergo physical changes as we live our lives in this world, and these changes affect our appearance. Age, disease, accident, injury can and do affect beautiful appearance. Certainly, people can do things to prolong or enhance their beauty. However, there is no fountain of youth. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. We are told in Proverbs 31:30. Number 3, beauty is not necessarily holiness. Beauty is not necessarily holiness. We're all called to be holy people. And I find nothing in the Bible which says that beauty makes a person holy. Who is the most holy person in the Bible? Well, I think it's clear. Without a doubt, the answer is Jesus Christ. And here is what the prophet Isaiah said about his appearance. Quote, for he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. Isaiah 53:2. No one should think that just because someone is beautiful, man, woman, adult, or child, that they are a holy person. Number 4, beauty does not guarantee many truly important things in life. Beauty does not guarantee many truly important things in life. A beautiful person is not necessarily an honest, dependable, trustworthy, or wise person. They might be, they might not be. A beautiful person is not necessarily a good husband or wife, a good employee, a good cook, a good parent, a good craftsman, a good citizen, a good steward of money. In other words, many of the things in life that we know are quite important are not guaranteed by outward beauty. Number five, beauty can cause problems. That may sound strange to you, but I'm convinced of that. Would Potiphar's wife have pursued Joseph if he was physically repulsive? Well, you take a look at Genesis 39 and see what you think, but I'm inclined to think no. Remember that both Abraham in Genesis 12 and Isaac in Genesis 26 lied in an attempt to protect their beautiful wives. Would they have done this if their wives were plain or ordinary in physical appearance? I don't think so. There would have been no need for that. Think of the extra problems that a young, beautiful woman faces who wants to be holy. Normally, does her beauty make it easier or harder for her to be sexually pure with many men pursuing her? Is there a jealousy factor that could make it more difficult for a beautiful woman to make friends with ordinary women? Is a beautiful woman tempted to use her beauty to influence men to get what she wants? Does beauty tend to promote pride and elevated sense of self-worth? You see, most of the time, the gift of beauty, I think, is kind of like the gift of money. Nothing inherently wrong with having money. Nothing inherently wrong with being beautiful. However, both gifts carry with them extra temptations. Temptations to do evil. Again, this does not mean that beauty is inherently a bad thing. It means that beautiful people in some areas of life need to be more careful and disciplined in order to avoid sin. Number six, beauty gets a person nothing on judgment day. Someday, we will all appear before the judgment seat of Almighty God. It is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Does anyone get a more favorable verdict on judgment day from God because of their beautiful appearance while they were living in the sinful world? No. God never declares someone righteous because they are beautiful. Beauty does not get anyone's sins overlooked or forgiven. Only repentance and faith in Jesus Christ makes someone right with God through the atoning work of Jesus Christ. Number seven, beauty is not necessarily the same thing as good health. There's no guarantee that a beautiful person is medically healthy, nor is there any guarantee that a medically healthy person is beautiful. Now, I'm going to make mention to a few people here, and I'm sure the younger folks have no idea who I am talking about. But since I am not that familiar with current society, I'll go ahead with this. The beauty of actress Suzanne Somers. She was a star in a television situation comedy, Three's Company. The beauty of Suzanne Somers did not prevent her from getting breast cancer at age 54 in the year 2000. She's still alive today by God's grace and still struggling with it. The beauty of actress Farrah Fawcett did not prevent her from being diagnosed with anal cancer at age 59 and dying of it at age 62 from that cancer metastasizing. The beauty of actress Mary Tyler Moore, Miss America Vanessa Williams, and Halle Berry did not prevent them from getting diabetes during the prime of their life, which was not from obesity. In the case of Mary Tyler Moore, she was diagnosed at age 30, Vanessa Williams at age 30, and Halle Berry at age 22. Number eight. To some extent, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. It is a matter of taste or personal preference. Clara Bow was an American actress that became known as the It Girl during the 1920s. For a while, she became the standard of beauty for many Americans. My only comment is that I'm glad my wife never looked like that. Today, we recognize that every age has an it girl, and they are not all the same in terms of appearance. I find it very, very sad. But we have a situation in our country. It's been here for a long time. And it's even found in Christian homes, among Christian people, where people just really, they think too much about the beauty of physical appearance. Many men and women are all caught up in being beautiful. Why? Well, because many of them greatly overrate the importance of physical beauty. Again, beauty is a gift from God. Nothing inherently wrong with it. Nothing wrong with acknowledging and enjoying it. But compared to many, many other things in life, not much. We can clearly see this in what is spent on cosmetic surgeries in America today. A report from the American Society of Plastic Surgeons reveals that Americans spent about $16 billion, that's a billion with a B, on elective cosmetic plastic surgeries in the year 2016. There were about 90,000 people that bought these surgeries, and the most popular were breast augmentation, liposuction, nose reshaping, tummy tuck, and buttocks augmentation. It is my carefully considered opinion that even in Christian homes, there is sometimes way too much emphasis on beauty, especially in the raising of little girls. What is desperately needed today is a greater emphasis on modesty and the beauty of the heart. The Apostle Paul, in his first letter to Timothy, said, "I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for God professing godliness, which is good works." 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. This complements perfectly what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging of the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel, but rather let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." I remember a Christian mother and father trying to teach their daughter. They weren't fully successful, but partially successful. Before the age of 4, they were at McDonald's buying an ice cream cone, and the young daughter pointed out some lady that walked in and said, "Mommy, that's not modest." Maybe she should have said that afterwards, but at least the parents were trying to do the right thing in instructing the daughter. Now, I also think a very strong biblical case exists for neatness and cleanliness when it comes to physical appearance, and I'll not get into that right now. So finally, it is time to answer the question that I asked earlier. How important is the beauty of physical appearance in people? This question requests a value judgment. Often questions like this must be answered in terms of a comparison. In other words, how important is physical beauty when compared to, say, intelligence or personal worth or good health or athletic ability? What our Proverbs gives us is a value judgment of beauty in comparison to discretion. Our proverb gives us a value judgment of beauty in comparison to discretion. "As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion." Again, the lesson here is about the value of beauty in comparison to discretion. It comes from a comparison between a pig with a gold nose ring and a beautiful woman without discretion. The word translated discretion in our English Bibles comes from the Hebrew word that literally means taste. The word could be translated good sense, which closely resembles what we've been calling in Proverbs wisdom. Here is the point of the lesson. Beauty in a woman does not compensate for a lack of good sense. Beauty in a woman does not compensate for a lack of good sense. In other words, the appearance of a beautiful woman will never substitute for wisdom or discretion. Good sense is more valuable than beauty. Here's an example of what our Proverbs is saying. Let's imagine that I own and operate my own small business and need to hire a customer service representative. One female applicant comes to my office for a face-to-face interview. As she walks to the door, I say, "Wow, what a beautiful woman." She takes my breath away. This proverb teaches me that I must realize that her beauty is not indispensable for a good customer service representative. But discretion is. Think of the trouble that a lack of discretion would sooner or later cause my business. Is it worth it? No, I don't think so. I think that we can infer the same point about a handsome man. Good looks in a man is not a substitute for a lack of good sense. How do I come to this conclusion? I will now explain. Let's begin with the Hebrew view of swine, pigs. Quite a bit different from the modern American view. Today, people have pigs as pets. Some take their pets to competitions, at livestock shows and fairs. Petting farms often have pigs for kids to pet, feed, and take pictures with. The Muppet Show includes Miss Piggy. We even sell posters of pigs to put on our walls. Farmers that raise pigs today from market try to maintain sanitary living conditions, provide veterinarian care, and feed commercial foods. Pigs today have a much more positive image than during the time of King Solomon. And so today, if someone were to look at this poster, which is commercially sold for people to put on their walls, many of you would say, "Oh, how adorable. How cute," right? Would a Jew living during the time of Solomon say that? No. The pig's image during Solomon's time can be well summarized with one word, unclean. The idea of unclean was not just something that was dirty and or unhealthy. It also included that which was morally and spiritually repulsive. We find this in the Law of Moses, Leviticus 11:7, which reads, "And the swine, though it divides the hoof, having cloven hoofs, yet it does not chew the cud, is unclean to you." We also have a similar thing revealed to us in Deuteronomy 14:8. "Also the swine is unclean for you, because it has cloven hooves, yet does not chew the cud. You shall not eat its flesh or touch its dead carcass." By New Testament times, the Jews had further lowered the status of pigs to the most repulsive of all animals. For a Jew, a gold nose ring does not make a pig something other than a pig. A gold nose ring does not change the status of unclean to clean. Left to its own devices, a gold nose ring pig does not avoid laying in the mud or laying in its own body elimination. A gold nose ring does not prevent a pig from enjoying its slop that's given to us, which is essentially human garbage. In fact, the nose ring in a pig made of gold is completely out of place. Who would do such a thing as to put a ring of gold in a pig's nose? When we compare what a gold nose ring does for a pig to what beauty does to a woman that lacks good sense, we see that both the gold ring and the beauty really does not change the things that are important. Yes, a gold ring has some value, just as physical beauty has some value. However, you add a gold nose ring to a pig, and it's still a pig. Likewise, you add beauty to a foolish woman, and you still have a foolish woman. The beauty does not make her wise, nor does it eliminate the problems that eventually come from foolishness. We might further make this comparison. A beautiful woman lacking good sense is maybe like spoiled milk that is served in genuine imported European crystal glass on a silver platter. What clear-thinking person would want that milk to drink? I remember what my 8th grade teacher said many times to us, his students. His name was Mr. Coffin. And he was a tall, strong man, wore a crew cut. And a number of times throughout the school year, he made the statement, "Don't marry for good looks." He told us this because of his own personal experience. He married a real-life beauty queen. I believe she was crowned Miss Alabama before they were married. He told us that he thought he would have the ideal marriage. Why? He married a beauty queen. He thought he hit the jackpot. However, they had a very bad marriage. There were times when he would come into class in the morning and he would say, "Hey, I'm not in a good mood. I had a terrible fight with my wife. I'm sorry. I'll do my best. I'll do my best to change." Things did not go well with him. Now, I know of people that have the wrong reaction to what I've been saying about beauty. They think that I'm saying that if someone wants a good friend, a good worker, or a good husband or wife, they must find people that are dog ugly. This is not what I'm saying. Nor is it what the proverb is saying. Know this, most of what I have said about beauty can also be said about a wealthy person, a great athlete, someone with tremendous musical talent. I close this lesson with the warning. Do not overvalue beauty in people. We all have a tendency to do this. Remember that some people are blessed by God with beauty, and there is nothing wrong with recognizing and appreciating someone's beauty. Shortly after I was converted, a pastor said to me once, "Boy, she was a beautiful woman." And I guess I looked at him funny, and he said, "Hey, there's nothing wrong with acknowledging beauty in someone. There's everything wrong with lusting after that beauty in our hearts, but a beautiful person is a person that has been blessed by God. Nothing wrong with that." However, we need to understand that when it comes to the essentials of life, the things that really matter, I'm not sure we can put beauty on that list. I don't think beauty is one of them. We need to focus our lives on what is most important. Things like our relationship to Jesus Christ, making our calling and election sure. We need to focus on our faithfulness to God and the calling that He has given us. We need to focus on our personal holiness by the grace of God through a consistent use of the means of grace. We need to focus on doing good to all men, especially to those of the household of faith. We need to focus on being good witnesses to the gospel. We need to focus on living a wise life through the gaining of discretion. We need to focus on cultivating the fear of God. These are the things that really matter. again. How important is it to be a beautiful person? Well, in comparison to things that really matter, beauty does not seem to have that much importance. Again, consider the final words of Proverbs 31, at verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Well, let's close in prayer. Our Father, we do thank you for the instruction that you give us. We thank you, Father, that you have given each and every one of us gifts, abilities, and we thank you for that. And we ask, Father, that you would help us to keep in perspective the value of physical beauty. We thank you, Father, that there is another kind of beauty, the beauty of the inward person, the beauty of the heart. And we ask, Father, that you would help us to cultivate that, all of us that are here this evening. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.